Well, this time of year is, well, supposed to be one of family happiness and joy. We have this little bit of reality known as divorce. Well, this is the conclusion of a conflict between married couples. It too often places their children in the middle. This is especially true at holiday times. I mean, sure, you hopefully agree to a custody agreement detailing who your child spends which holiday with. But what if one parent decides to go against that agreement? If you're in the process of a divorce, what priorities do you need to focus on regarding this issue so it doesn't become a later, more darker issue of a whole new kind? It was some expert guidance is a longtime family law attorney, founder of the A.C. Riemann Law Firm, also listed in Who's Who in America, representing women in law. Amanda Riemann, how are you today, Amanda?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, thank you for the work that you do, because it can be contentious times, not just around this time of year, but any time this element of marriage or the end thereof comes about. A.C. Riemann, R-I-E-M-A-N, acriemannlaw.com. I give that site to you for two reasons. We're based in New Jersey, while Amanda's firm is in Virginia, but her website has great information, especially on her blog about this and other legal issues that everyone can benefit from. And if you're listening on the stream in Virginia, make use of acriemannlaw.com. Find out more about her legal services, should you need them. I have no doubt, Amanda, that as we like to think that we've covered bases, but things run afoul, especially with marriages and divorces, that when that happens, you've no doubt seen the results of those things running afoul. And I can imagine it's not pretty when that happens.
It's not, and it's because it's a layered event. Divorce and separation has many different aspects to it, but the root of many problems is the emotion and the emotional reactions and outbursts that can happen. Even if it's something logical, you know is coming. You know your spouse and you have talked about a divorce. You know that you're in a separation period. When emotions get the best of you, sometimes, to your point, things will go completely to the left, and as much as you can try and cover your bases in an agreement, sometimes an agreement might not be so helpful when other parties choose to not abide by that agreement.
In case you're wondering, listening to where the highest rates of divorce are, Mississippi leads the nation. I looked at a few surveys just to get a general ballpark consensus. Maryland and New Jersey ranks third in most surveys, around 15.6%. And more positive note, by the way, lowest divorce rates, Minnesota, South Dakota, Massachusetts, Wyoming. I've been to Wyoming and never saw much to be happy and joyful there, but the people there must be happy since the low divorce rate is prevalent. I was also researching, I looked up, and again, it'll vary a bit state to state, but basically when it comes to child custody, parenting time, visitation, there's joint legal custody, sole legal custody, primary residential custody, shared residential, then you also have parenting time and visitation. So I can just imagine that with all the headbutting and back and forth going on, trying to get both parties just to agree to one of those choices has to be a challenge too.
Yeah, you know, sometimes my clients will come to me and they'll say, I want full custody. And I have to say, let's back up and punt here, because there's no such thing as full custody. There is something also called legal custody. And legal custody means that both parties can make decisions about the children pertaining to their health, education, and welfare. So I always encourage my clients to start with legal custody. So just because you're going through a divorce does not mean we're going to terminate one parent's rights. It's in the best interest of the children to have both parties around, as long as, you know, there's not substantial issues such as drug use or abuse. But start there, and that's a win. Okay, we're going to have joint legal custody. So we can confer with the other parent to the extent possible before making decisions about health, education. We can have access to medical and educational records. We can consult with the dentist or the school officials concerning that child's educational status and their school activities. So start with the legal custody. Say, hey, we're both parents. We're both going to be making a decision. When it comes to that other aspect of custody, there's physical custody, and I like to think of physical custody as a hug, a touch, physical. And that's where you think, where are the children going to be primarily staying? So maybe dad is traveling a lot. Maybe mom is a firefighter, and, you know, she's on 3 days, off 3 days. You have to think about, where are the children going to be primarily residing? And then you can say, okay, well, if that's with dad, then dad might have primary physical custody, but both parties have joint legal custody. And then that's another win, because you're not saying that, no, you don't have any type of custody. And then you're able to then form a visitation schedule around everyone's work schedules, school schedules, and it can be as liberal as you want, or it can be pretty specific as far as 7:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. on the weekends, and here's where we're meeting. It just depends on the family, totally a case-by-case basis.
I was going to ask that, too, because is there an assumption that you can go back into an agreement saying that, okay, I planned this day and this day, but, well, things worked out differently because of my job. So can time and days be traded off, or does that have to be specifically stated in the custody and the time agreements?
The more you can do without the intervention of attorneys or the courts, the better. And I know that sounds counterintuitive coming from a lawyer, but what ends up happening is families think, oh, there's a change, I need to go to court. And what that results in is a clogging of the court's dockets, and it results in a lot of stress on families, and it results in you feeling like you are just hemorrhaging legal fees. And what happens is, okay, my second grader, we've worked it all out, but then what happens? Ding, 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 your second grader is now a third grader. Do we have to go back to court and rehash all of this out? So when I'm drafting agreements, I have a clause specifically under the child custody and visitation that says, you know, if this portion of the agreement requires a modification, the parties are first going to try to amend it in good faith. If they can't agree on an amendment to the agreement, let's try mediation. So while we know that litigation is an available remedy, that's going to be our last resort to dispute resolution.
Talking with attorney Amanda Rieman, founder of the AC Rieman Law Firm. ACRiemanLaw.com is the website of the practice. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. That's an important issue too, Amanda, because here in New Jersey, we have a shortage of judges, primarily on the family court level, because of a lack of confirmations by the state politicians, and it's creating, no exaggeration, a better than a year to 2 year delays in some of these family cases.
Yeah, and you have to remember too, the Juvenile Domestic Relations Court, JNDR, they reserve jurisdiction over children until they're 18 years old. Why? Because the courts say, hey, it's in their, quote, best interest if we reserve jurisdiction. That way, if there is some material change in circumstances, the courts can intervene. With that being said, I caution my clients on getting super anchored with things when it comes to those children. The reason why is because, well, they're the most important thing to me. Of course, I understand that. However, it can change. You could sign this agreement, agree to a child support amount, agree to a schedule, and then they could go and say, yep, you know what, I changed my mind and now I'm going to disagree. It can always change, because people with children know you might have a day laid out hour by hour and think your weekend's going to go one way, and then it doesn't. Kids get sick. Things happen. You have birthday parties or events or people stop by. So things in life don't go exactly as planned. You certainly have to have some flexibility when it comes to the kids. And so if you're able to put your differences aside and co-parent, it's better for you and it's better for your family and those children.
And certainly make it a point to keep the kids first in all this, not treating them as an object to be passed around. But that's another talk for another time of family counselors we can get to on the show. But I'm imagining that, and it's probably not an exaggeration, there might be one parent who might think, okay, I'm going to wait the last possible minute. I'm going to wait for Christmas Eve, an hour before the switch off time. I'm going to say, not happening. Sorry. See you New Year's. Mm-hmm. What happens? What recourse does the other parent have? And for the parent who violates the custody schedule, what kind of penalties could they get hit with?
So that answer is it depends. So if the intent from the other parent is malicious, meaning they always knew they were never going to give the kids back, that's parental kidnapping. You can't do that without the permission of the court if you have a court order. So we have settlement agreements. Once they're signed and notarized, that's a binding contract. Ramifications are civil breaches in the event that something is broken, somebody's not adhering to a clause. But if you have a temporary or permanent court order that says this is the schedule, very serious ramifications for violating a court order. That could include fines, that could include jail time. And guess what? It doesn't look good for you, because if you're going back to court, a judge is going to be less inclined, if you were uncooperative and not abiding by what the court determined was in the children's best interest.
Maybe it really is just as easy as always keeping the child first and foremost from start to finish of this entire process when it comes to custody agreements and visitation schedules. As I said, Amanda is based in Virginia, so if you're listening on the stream, obviously you know her firm is the go-to in the areas of family law, custody, divorces. And if you're not, there's still a wealth of information at acremanlaw.com that you can learn from, be guided by, because Amanda deals with the facts and the truth of the law rather than trying to twist around and play games with the law, because play that game, you're going to be always the wind up being the loser in that situation. Again, it's acremanlaw.com. Amanda Reman, thank you so much for being here today and offering guidance, information, and support for parents who might be facing a little trouble right about now and when they thought they had everything covered. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chris.